Your Money Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Money and Me, the property edition on Money FM 89.3, brought to you by Simlian Group, creating space, creating homes.
It is Money and Me, the property edition. Over the past couple of episodes, we've been looking at what you need to think through if you're thinking of buying an HDB or you're thinking of buying into an EC. Today, the things you need to keep in mind if it's landed property that you're going after. When is it a good time to buy that first landed property? What are some factors to consider? Do you need to be wealthy to buy landed property in Singapore? Mohammed Ismail Ghaffour is Chairman and CEO of PropNex. Ismail, how was your weekend?
Hi, it was amazing. It was a good rest. All back to work today.
Well, happy Monday. Yeah. And here we are talking about something many Singaporeans love, the idea of a home with a little patch of grass out front or grass out back. So landed property. Mm. Could you give us an overview of how they're doing?
I mean, put it this way. Indeed, it is the gold standard of residential investment in Singapore. I think probably only about 5% people live in landed homes. Mm. And you're talking about a mere 70,000 landed homes, the background of 1 million over public housing and a couple of hundred private property. And that's why it is always a dream that one would like to own a landed home. And looking at it from the price perspective, I must say landed homes today are a bit more affordable. And if I look at it 5 years ago, let's say the first Q of 2014 to now, about 5 years thereafter, the landed price index have dropped from 175 points to 160 points. That means almost about a 15 points drop. I think we talked so much about the price indices last week.
Yep.
And in fact, if you even take a look at the first 9 months of this year, landed properties have gone down by 1.2% as opposed to the non-landed homes have gone up by 2.6%. So there are a lot of things going very favorably for people who wants to go and hunt for landed properties. But one must say landed properties don't come with a low budget item.
Yeah.
But it is worth seriously considering.
Yep. That's the reality of it. You get what you pay for. In terms of the options out there, what are the different types of landed properties that we're seeing?
I mean, we can see different types for sure. And it comes in the form of either an inter-terrace house. An inter-terrace house, the minimum requirement of the land size have to be 150 square meters. If you translate to square feet, will be about 1,650. I think you can visualize a jumbo flat in Singapore is about 1,600. That's where I'm talking about the pure the land size.
Right.
And usually for an inter-terrace, it could be either a single, double, or even a triple story. A land could be 1,600 for those who are the three-story inter-terrace, the build-up may well exceed 3,000 square foot of livable space. And that is the smallest form of landed at the entry level. What is the main difference of an inter-terrace as opposed to the next category, which is corner terrace or a semi-D? Both have the similar likes. Basically, a semi-D is a pair, both usually identical, and a corner terrace is in a series of a terrace houses, the last one. The biggest advantage of a corner terrace and a semi-detached here is this, that 180 degrees on one side, you have got windows to get the view and the sun and whatever it is. Mm. Unlike an inter-terrace, your left and right are pure wall because it is an adjoining wall of your neighbor's unit. Mm. For inter-terrace, you can only see sunlight from front and back. But these days, creative developers have also included a sky well within inside where you can get even rain or for that matter, even sunlight. And semi-detached are about 200 square meters. These are minimum requirement by regulation. That is about land size 2,200 square foot. Then the higher category will be a detached, which is really the prestigious, a bungalow. When we said I live in a bungalow, there are very few people can say that. And the minimum requirement is 400 square meters, about 4,400 square feet. Finally, we come to the pinnacle standard, which is the good class bungalows. And good class bungalows, there are only about 2,500 in Singapore.
Mm.
And the minimum land size have to be 1,400 square meters, which is about 15,000 square foot. These are generally in terms of different sizes of landed property.
Okay, so a good class bungalow. I'm just going to throw you a red herring here. Donnie Yen, interested in Singapore homes that cost 5 million to 10 million. Can you get a GCB?
Not likely possible, a GCB, but obviously he can buy a bungalow. That's within the means of owning a bungalow. Mm. And actually, if you look at it, why is it the GCBs? GCBs generally, because of its mere size, is minimum 15,000 square foot. And GCB on average, the per square foot is about $1,500 to $2,000 per square foot. So if someone has gotten a budget of 20 million and above, are the only one who can actually look at good class bungalows. And when we look at it, the Singapore's most priciest residential transaction took place this year, May, and it is none other than the number 33 Nassim Road with a price tag of $230 million.
Staggering.
But this is really for a select few. But on the other hand, this had a very huge land size of 84,000 square foot over land size. But generally, a GCB, we are talking about 15,000. I mean, I want to be more practical. For example, the key question here is this. Can a Singaporean afford a landed home at entry level? And I'm honestly looking at it. Anyone with a 3 million budget, one could enter the market quite comfortably, either a resale or even a newer development, but I'm referring to an inter-terrace. I'm quite sure there are some lower budget of slightly above $2 million, but these are relatively old, single story, and some are 99 years old. My price tag of $3 million is for a freehold inter-terrace house. And who could actually afford when I look at it? I was just doing some simple calculation. And I think a combined income of $15,000, a couple, and if they take a $2 million loan over a period of 30 years at an interest rate of 2.5% today, their monthly installment is going to be $7,000. And then, assuming based on their age, their CPF ordinary account will have anything between 2005 to 2007. So if you minus the 2005 or 2007 from your 7,000 monthly installment, you still have to fork out about $4,500 cash monthly. Then the question here is this, do you have that desire? And depending on your commitment and all other things that you are subjected to, a landed home is affordable, but I'm looking at someone who's earning from 15,000 combined income and above.
Wow, thanks for doing the maths for us and, you know, figuring out what the purse needs to be. 3 million, family combined income of 15,000, doable for freehold intermediate terrace. How scarce are those?
Overall, in terms of the landed properties, we have got about 70,000 in Singapore. And I think there are some very popular districts, I must say, either in a District 28 or District 19 or District 15.
Where's District 28?
When we talk about District 28, it's actually the Seletar area.
Ah, okay.
You know, there's in a huge clusters of landed properties, the Seletar Hills and so on. Yep. And that has been quite popular as well. In fact, good numbers of transactions takes place in this district. The other district is District 19. And when we talk about District 19, we're talking about the Serangoon Garden. Yep.
Very
and, you know,
well
the Chom Chom
known,
and so
mature.
On. And that's in a huge cluster. But District 19 also stretches up to Punggol and Hougang because it is just an extension of the Serangoon area. And the third most popular district is actually District 15. And 15, we are talking about the Amber Road, the Katong, the Joo Chiat, and as well as a fair amount of the Siglap and the Frankel. Yep. So these are some of the very popular, but obviously, there are also other districts, the high end in District 11 and District 20. And you see, why I always say landed is a gold standard? Because it is indeed a Singaporean privilege. Foreigners are not allowed to own a landed home, especially in the main island of Singapore. The only exceptions for foreigners they are allowed to buy is in Sentosa, but again, it is confined to the 99-year leasehold. Therefore, as in a Singaporean privilege, one would be actually quite mesmerized to understand a few other numbers if I give.
Please.
A 5,500 square foot bungalow.
Yep.
In 1965. I'm talking about in the eastern part of Singapore. Okay, maybe we can take it somewhere near Frankel Estate. 1965, a 5,000 to 5,500 square foot, a two-story bungalow cost a mere $50,000.
Oh!
10 years thereafter, in 1975, it went to $200,000. Another 10 years, it went to $600,000. And in year 1995, it went up to $2.8 million, from 600 to 2.8.
Incredible.
And 2005, it was just a $3 million because of the Asian financial crisis and we were recovering from the SARS and so on. The prices was a bit dull. But 2015, the $3 million jumped to $6 million. And today, the same property, 4 years thereafter, is $8 million. And we are talking about something that started about 50 over years ago at $50,000. And today, we are talking about $8 million. Then the next question we're asking, is this realistic? Who are the people who are buying?
Mm.
But when you divide the $8 million by a 5,500 square foot, per square foot is a mere $1,454, less than $1,005 per square foot for a freehold land. And that's why this is really well sought after and in a gold standard of investment.
Okay, so you mentioned foreigners, they can buy Sentosa Cove, and for a while it was marketed as the world's most prestigious address, especially waterfront living. So what do you think? Has Sentosa Cove lost its shine?
To an extent, I must say it has been a little bit more challenging simply because of the cooling measures and the increase of additional buyer's stamp duty. And we are talking about especially foreigners need to pay 20% additional plus the standard 4% basic, therefore. And we are talking about in a landed property in Sentosa, the tickets are $15 to $20 million. And a 24%, it is almost another $4, $5 million of stamp duties. And the fact that because it is 99-year lease and now it has already been about close to probably 15 to 20 years from the time this initiative came about.
Mm.
And that's why we find the Sentosa landed properties are a little bit of the shine is off, but there are still transactions taking place and it is indeed in a value proposition.
Okay, Ismail, I'll listen to a question for you. You mentioned, you know, that impressive trajectory of that house in the east, right? Where do you see the most opportunities in terms of geographic area if one wants to buy their first landed property?
I think in Singapore is quite all right, whichever place that you buy. But maybe some of the, probably, I mean, just say it as an advice or a real estate landed property tips if you want to take it from that perspective. It is always better to buy a landed property in a bigger clusters. If I give an example, if let's say an Opera Estate or a Frankel Sea Club or a Serangoon Chom Chom or a Seletar, because when there is a greater number of landed properties, when you want to sell, a lot more people, when they want to buy, will target such estate. Therefore, the activities are more, the transactions record support each other's future price, as opposed to, let's say, if you buy a landed property in outlying a small stretch of, let's say, 50 units, you are lost in the mind of many people who wants to buy. And when you have in a bigger clusters, you will have got a lot more people, either the, I wouldn't say rich and famous, but generally on the higher income group, either professionals like doctors, engineers, and many other people. And people who visit their homes also want to own something nearby there. And that would be good. And when we talk about clustered, it really doesn't matter whether you're talking about either a Seletar or Serangoon or on the eastern side, is perfectly okay within the affordable range.
Okay, well, this is a hot topic as well. Lots of questions coming in for you when it comes to landed property in Singapore. Example that you just gave, that 5,500 square feet and the appreciation rates from 1965 to present. Listener asks, when prices jump, like you say, Ismail, is this a bubble? These are huge jumps in a short period of time.
I don't see it as in a bubble because, you see, we need to understand the limited stock and demand. And what is the way that I assess whether is it a bubble or not, I go back to its per square foot, what are people paying? And that's why when I say that, even at $8 million, it works out to a freehold, a land at $1,454. And look at it when today, an executive condominium is $1,100 for a 99 per square foot owning a piece of a sky. I mean, you can say the airspace, a strata unit. Therefore, that's why these prices are supportable simply because, in fact, I do see the 8 million. Is there a potential to go to 10 million? And I think it is very possible. And even at 10 million, if it is about 5,500 land size, we are talking about per square foot going to 1,617. And the fact that we are only talking about 70,000 landed property in the landscape. And when those people who owned a condominiums who are buying it at $2,000, $3,000 per square foot, after some time when they dispose, they have all the means to upgrade.
Here's another question for you, Ismail. Is it important to look at height restriction when you buy landed property?
I think it is definitely important. I would always suggest that if you want to buy a house, be wary about how much you want to spend in renovating. Simply because don't assume that buying a single story, a dilapidated condition, and therefore you are going to demolish it and reconstruct. But sometimes because the cost of demolishing it and reconstructing may cost you $1.5 to $2 million. Then you're going to pay initially for that land parcel, probably whatever the price. You have to factor the cost. Therefore, it would be good for you to buy a house that, in terms of the structures, are already there, a two-story or a two-and-a-half-story. And you can just spend a couple of $100,000 to do an addition and alterations without having to really demolish and restart all over again. Height restriction, yes, because generally they have got certain guidelines in terms of either it can be 2.5 stories in certain areas or it can be up to 3 stories. And that is depending on how much you want to have more built up areas.
So here's a question for you, Ismail. Is it difficult to sell landed property in Singapore as compared to selling a condo or an HDB flat?
I mean, contrary to the belief, I think landed properties are so much more easier to sell, especially if it is relatively well maintained. One of the bigger concerns of the buyers when they enter a landed property here is these two things. Do they need to do huge repairs? And because, you know, on a landed property, we are talking about you are also responsible for the external aspect, be it the roof, is there leakages or is there any other issues in terms of piping or termites and all other things people are worried about. Therefore, as long as you have a home and you well maintain it, and if the reasonable price, a landed property can transact, in fact, a much faster pace than many more condominiums out in the market.
Very interesting. Back to the good class bungalows. You mentioned a price range, right, Ismail, for good class bungalows?
Yes, yes. I mean, we are talking about good class bungalows. First and foremost, it is in terms of the GCBs are only confined to 39 areas in Singapore. Therefore, even though just now when I mentioned a GCB, the size have to be 1,400 square meters or 15,000 square feet, it doesn't mean if you amalgamate a couple of landed property and you said, I'm staying in a GCB because my land is more than 15,000 square foot in District 16 or elsewhere, it is not seen in the lights as a GCB. GCBs are areas like Belmont, Binjai Park, or you will have in a certain district in 11 and King Albert Park, Nassim Road and Raffles Park. And these are identified and been endorsed as good class areas. And owning one of these development is really prestigious.
And you see the same upside for GCBs?
Oh, yes. In fact, I think this year, the GCB market has been doing very well. And I say that there's only about 2,500 units. Put it this way. I look at it, be it GCB or even bungalows and semis. One of the key questions people always ask here is this. Is it really affordable when it is only confined to Singaporeans and foreign money cannot come in? But I look at it from this way. Because it is such a small percentage, probably about 5%, we have got a lot of wealthy Singaporean business people or even many other people who have been very successful. But beyond that, also look at it. The high net worth foreigners who are coming to Singapore, they may not be a Singaporean at the start state. They are PR. But time to come, we also know many foreigners after the 5 years or 10 years get their citizenship. The minute they get their citizenship, it becomes their legal right to be able to own one. And therefore, I look at it from the demand perspective. As long as there are more Singaporeans who can afford, and including foreigners who become Singapore citizens, landed property is going to be a prime choice.
So far, this is a great way to start a Monday, Ismail. Before we let you go, final question for you. What is the landed property market outlook for the rest of the year and 2020, in your opinion?
I think generally, I must say, is very stable. One of the key things here is this. You see, unlike in the past, even the wealthy families tend to buy two or three landed properties because they can afford. But because of the stamp duties, people are now a little bit more restricted or taking twice to think, because a second property will subject them to additional 12%, even though you're a Singaporean, or a third property to 15%. Therefore, that's why when I see it in the last 5 years, and for that matter for this year, the landed property price has come down slightly as compared to the all other private properties. Therefore, indeed, this is a window of opportunity for serious buyers to go out there and take a look without the price going up in the next 6 to 9 months. And I think it will be a good start for anybody to look and start owning landed properties.
Hey, we hope we've given you some inspiration and great price points to think of as well. This has been Money and Me, Ismail. Have a wonderful Monday.
Thank you.
Chairman and CEO of Propnex, Mohammed Ismail.
This segment is brought to you by Sim Lien Group, creating space, creating homes.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.